throughout the week, and the world has a way of pulling our attention here and pulling our attention there. And yes, we know we're in God's presence as His Spirit dwells within us, but there's something special about all of His people coming together, and it really is like an oasis. And it is all of us coming together where God is at the center of our hearts, and we pledge for nothing to distract us from Him. I would like to read from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Let's worship.
Send me round the promises of God. together as well as my soul, hymn number 490-490.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Father, we come before you this morning just thanking you for truly the love that you had for us by giving Jesus to die upon that cross of Calvary. Dear Father, we just, it's hard to express in words just what a sacrifice that was, but giving your own son. We pray that, dear Father, that you'll help us each day as we walk in this path, in this life, that you'll help us to just to keep you, that sacrifice within our hearts each day. Help us, Father, to be a light to those around us and to really understand our true purpose of why we're here. Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we take this time this morning to focus, put all other thoughts out of mind, and just focus upon you and your love that you had for us. We pray that you'll be with the one who will bring the word this morning. And Father, we just pray that all things we do will be pleasing unto you. And again, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for being our Father. In Christ's name, amen.
Before we have our scripture reading, Tim brings the lesson this morning. We'll sing Living by Faith, hymn number 560. If you want to mark your songbook, our song of invitation, following the lesson will be 552. 552.
Please go ahead at this time. If you have any kids, children that need to go to the training class, go ahead and dismiss in that direction. For today's scripture reading, we'll be reading from Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Exodus 2, 23 through 25, and these words will be from the English Standard Version. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their help for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew.
Every time we come together, there's almost certainly going to be some among us that are dealing with heavy burdens. And this morning I have just learned that Tom Ellis's sister, Janet Stanton, is in the ER with cardiac arrest. We have prayed for her regarding cancer that she's been battling. But this morning we're going to pray that God will be with her to bring her through this very serious event. We're also going to remember in our prayer this morning, Jasmine Ryan. Megan has asked that we pray for God's help with her. There are things that she's dealing with that we won't need to go into detail about, but God knows, and God is always good to help us in our difficult times. And there's one other instance we're not going to name, a very difficult situation. We don't know how difficult it will be, but it is already very difficult, and it will probably come to light soon, but for now, we're just going to ask for God to bless this situation. So let's bow and go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we praise you, Lord. You are our Creator, our King, our Redeemer. Father, you're everything to us. And for too much of our lives, Father, we lived oblivious to you. But the more we come to know you, the more we come to know Jesus, our Savior, the more we realize, Lord, how much we depend on you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the intercession that he and the Holy Spirit make for us on a regular basis. And Father, hear our prayer this morning. We pray that you'll bless Janet as she is undergoing this cardiac arrest. Bless those who are working with her, Father, that they'll have skill and wisdom. But more than that, you, Lord, be there to help her come through this. Bless her with the further cancer treatments and the difficult situation she's in. Father, we also pray for our sister Jasmine. We pray that you'll bless her, Father. You know what she needs. You know what is best. We simply bring it before you, Lord, and pray that you'll be with her in a very powerful way. And for this other situation, Father, you know what is going on. You know what is going to happen. We just pray, Father, you'll be with this situation as well, and that it will turn out far better than we fear it might. Lord, you can do all things. But we know that your will is always best, and so we put it all in your hands, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for those of you that have been praying for Joyce and me. We're better, I'm happy to say, and I'm glad to be back with you after my 1 week vacation. Got a little more rest than usual, I'll have to admit, but it's so good to be back with you today, and I do appreciate the great outpouring of concern and prayers and help in various forms. You were just very kind, and we do appreciate that so much. But it's good to have you with us today. We have visitors with us, as we almost always do. If I have not met you, I want to before you get away, and I know others do as well, so everybody look around and greet and welcome and smile, and let's all be happy because we're together. It is a blessing not to be taken for granted. I learned that last week. It is so good to be in the presence of others who love the Lord as we do. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to again talk about the basic theme that we're going to begin this morning. We will continue it this evening, and so I really hope you can come out and join us for that. All of you who are joining us online, we are so glad that you have tuned in and hope that you will continue to do so as you need to. If you're able to come out and join us in person, we would love that. But some of you, that's not possible, and we're just really glad that we can come to you in this way. And for all of our friends in the prison and the jails, we're so glad that you are tuning in as well, and pray that you'll be blessed by the time that we spend together in God's Word. So let's get our Bibles out. I noticed in one of the songs we sang this morning, Standing on the Promises, there's a line there that never really jumped out at me before. It said, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. And of course, it's talking about the Word of God, the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, Paul says in Ephesians 6. And you know, that doesn't just mean when we're battling people on doctrinal issues. It can be that. But when we're battling depression or anger or strong temptations of one kind or another, that's the sword we need to pull out and start using. And so let's get more acquainted with this word. Let's find out more about how God can help us on a daily basis. And I hope you've got your Bible open or turned on or whatever it is. If you've got a scroll, go ahead and unroll it now. But let's get into the Word of God. It's always worth our time. You know the letters S-O-S, I'm confident. They're probably as familiar, maybe not as familiar to our generation, to the younger generation today, as the numbers 911. But the idea is the same, pretty much. SOS originally stood for Save Our Ship. It was a nautical term. It was first brought into acceptance in 1906. And it was a way for ships at sea that were in a perilous storm, maybe they were beginning to sink for one reason or another, and they could send the signal, SOS, and that would mean we need help. Get here as quick as you can. And of course, since then, it's become adapted in other ways. It's even available now in, you can use a mirror if you're out hiking. It's always good to take a mirror with you if you're hiking. And that way, if you get injured, you need help, and there's a plane going overhead, you can signal with that, three short flashes, three long, three short. Or you can spell out the letters SOS in the snowbank or with logs on a beach. There's a lot of ways to use it, but the point is the same. I need help. Please come to me. Well, I say that because there's a hymn that we sing often. Well, we don't hear. I don't know that we've ever sung it here at Central, but we hear it a lot this time of the year. A carol, we call it. It's called O Come, Emmanuel. Not one of the more famous ones, but it's powerful. In fact, it is said to have come from the 8th century. It was translated into English from the Latin in 1851, and it's in various forms. You'll find a lot of different variations of it, but the point is the same. And I want to read the first line in one of the variations I found, because that's the basis of what we're going to be talking about this morning. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And those are powerful words. And they're not just for December of each year. They are for every day. Because every day of our lives, we can vocalize those ideas because we need him. We need the help that God gives. And particularly in that line, there is that word ransom. Ransom us, Lord. And that's the idea we want to focus on right now, is do we need to be ransomed? And if so, would God even think about coming to help us? Let's look at that together, shall we? First of all, let's talk about humanity's need for ransom. humanity's need for ransom. Now, we've recently seen this in action, in real life. We have seen, for example, in recent weeks, hostage exchanges. And you remember there were about 50 or so Israeli hostages that were taken hostage in early October by Hamas, the terrorist group in Gaza. And about 50 of the Israelites were swapped for a much larger number of Palestinians. But the point is this, there was a price attached. There was a price. And Israel agreed, okay, we will release this many hostages for this many of ours. There was a price that had to be negotiated. Now, there are others that have still not been released, some that were tragically killed just a couple of days ago by friendly fire. I don't know where that word friendly comes in, but it was tragic. But the point is this, when people are captive, held captive against their will, there's almost always a price to be paid. God has ransomed his people. There's a precedent for what we're talking about this morning. It's one that's very famous when you go to the Old Testament. In fact, the passage that Earl read for us a few moments ago in Exodus chapter 2. Let's go back to that and remind ourselves of that. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to read the latter part of verse 23 and the first part of verse 24, and here's what we find there. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and called out for help, SOS, you might say. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant, and thus we are introduced to Moses in his adulthood at that point, and how he will play a part in God's rescue of his people that were held hostage by Egypt. And so there is a major example in the Bible. People that were held against their will, they went down to Egypt, about 70 of them, under very friendly circumstances. But as they grew, the Egyptians were afraid of them. They said, we need to really subjugate them. We're going to make them our slaves. And so now they need help. And God comes to their rescue. Go with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 23. Here we have King David. Now, David, of course, comes along many hundreds of years later after the Exodus from Egypt. And now he has just been told by God, you're going to have a house. You wanted to build me a house, David? I'm going to establish a house for you. And David is just stunned by the grace of God. And here's part of what he says in reflecting on that. He says this in 2 Samuel 7, 23. Who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem, and that's the idea of ransom as well, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And so David there is reflecting on just how amazing that example was and is. He said, what other nation can say that God came to their rescue, that God redeemed them? And there was a price, and you see that with the establishment of the Levites as God's people and other things that play into that as well. But there was a price to be paid. But God said, I will pay that price. I will bring my people out of their desperate situation. I will rescue them. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And here, yet further down the line in time, we have God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he's talking about a time when he's going to rescue his people from Babylon. He's told them in Isaiah, you're going to be taken away from your home, but I'm not going to forget you. And he looks back to this time when he brought his people out of Egypt to show them, I will do this. I've done it before. I can do it again. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. So again, the idea is God knows there is a cost. There is a price to be paid to release them from Babylon. But he's saying, look at what I did before in bringing my people out of Egypt. I'm going to do it again. And even though you're going to go through very scary times, I'm with you. I will be with you. And then one other passage in the Old Testament and the prophets looking back to God's abilities and his desire to help his people. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, and we're going to look at the latter part of verse 27 and the first part of verse 28. Ezekiel 34, the latter part of verse 27. They shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations. And so the idea there again is, I'm going to be there for them. I will be there for them. He's looking again at their captivity in Babylon. They're not abandoned. They're not alone. I will go to them. I can break the bars. I can open the doors. They will again know that I am their God. And so Israel in the Old Testament shows us the principle. God loves his people. God is willing to help his people. And even when there is a price to be paid, he doesn't say, nah, it's not worth that. Good luck, you're on your own. Like you might do if there was a ransom for me. You might say, well, good luck, Tim. I'm not going to pay that. God doesn't do that to us. God says, whatever the price, I will pay it to release you from your difficult situation. In fact, there's a great story in the Old Testament that makes this very clear. You know what I'm talking about. It's in the book of Hosea. Hosea and his wife Gomer. Hosea, and we're going to look at Hosea chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And here again, you see, the idea is all about God. It's about Hosea and his wife, yes, true, but it's much more about God. Here's what it says in Hosea 2, chapter 3, rather, verses 2 and 3. So I bought her for 50 shekels of silver. Notice again, there's a ransom to be paid. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a letek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. I will be yours. You will be mine. I'm buying you back. In fact, there is an interesting comment I found by John Walton in the Cultural Background Study Bible. He's talking about the price that was paid for Gomer. And he said, this amount is equal to the amount due as compensation for the loss of a slave in Exodus 21, verse 32. Since Gomer's situation is unclear, it is not possible to make a definite determination of why Hosea would pay out this amount. Based on Middle Assyrian laws, however, he may have been redeeming her from a legal situation from which she could not extricate herself, such as paying a debt that she owed. In other words, she was trapped. There was no way out. She had left Hosea on her own. Now she's in a real difficult situation, and God says, go buy her back. Why would you make me do that, God? Why would you want me to do that? Because that's what I'm doing for my people, Israel. God is like that. And so this idea of ransom, in the song that we've referenced, O Come, Emmanuel, ransom us. Is there hope? Well, absolutely, because that's who God is. Well, now let's talk about us. Now that we know how God is and the precedents that are out there, will God come to ransom us? Will Emmanuel come? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 will be read many times during this time of the year as people are thinking about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, and here's what Matthew records for us there, talking about a prophecy that had been fulfilled when Mary conceived of Jesus. He says in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, there's a different spelling there than what you find in the hymn and in other places. It's just a variation of spelling. Don't get hung up on that. But Matthew went on to say that Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. And so when Jesus came to earth and was conceived in the womb of Mary, as all of us were conceived in our mother's wombs, that was God with us. And so, yeah, there is hope that Emmanuel will come, but what about this idea of ransom? I mean, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? There's a price to be paid. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, verses 27 and 28. And Jesus himself speaks about this idea. Well, are you willing, Lord? Are you willing to pay a ransom to get us freed from our situation? Our situation is similar to Gomer. We willingly walked away from God. We got ourselves involved in sin. There's no way to extricate ourselves. Would you be willing to pay the ransom? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. "Whoever would be first among you must be your slave." That's the principle by which we are to live. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's why Jesus came to this earth, to give his life as a ransom for many. And the good news is that many is still open. It means that, yes, you and I, when we come to our senses and realize we're in a bad place, Jesus has paid the ransom, or at least that was his intent of paying that ransom. Peter said it was actually accomplished. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And Peter, of course, writing many years after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and then was raised again. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers." So there's good news, isn't it? We were ransomed. Peter says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Now, why would Peter bring up the idea of a lamb? Well, he's talking about Passover, of course. All the Jews were very well acquainted with Passover. It was the time when sacrifices were made to redeem themselves, to avoid the death that was going to come upon all of Egypt. And this lamb had to be offered so that they would be spared death as well. And then on the Day of Atonement, again, a lamb had to be offered. And that, again, would forgive them for a year for the debts that they had offered. Well, Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. He is the one that lived all of his life without defiling himself with sin. And he became that lamb that was perfect, that was without blemish, without spot. And by that blood that he willingly shed, we have been ransomed. That's what Peter says. We have been ransomed by that blood. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, much the same idea, but a different perspective. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood," he's talking about us. We are flesh and blood people. That's not all of who we are, but that's a lot of who we are, flesh and blood. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself," talking about Jesus, "he himself partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's what Jesus accomplished by dying on the cross. I don't think Satan had a clue what was going to happen. I think Satan was convinced, I have triumphed. I put the Son of God to death. That's done. I'm now top dog. And yet when Jesus was raised from the dead and he took that sacrificial blood into the presence of God, into the true Holy of Holies in heaven, Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated. And so this says, by death, Jesus destroyed the one who has the power of death and delivered. Who did he deliver? All those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's talking again about us, isn't it? What does the fear of death make some people do? Well, they'll do anything. You want me to deny my Lord? I'll deny my Lord. Just don't put me to death. We've been delivered from that. And so even if somebody does put a gun to my head or a sword to my neck or whatever it may be, I've been delivered from the slavery of the fear of death by what Jesus did for me. And I will ultimately triumph because of that power Jesus has given me. In Revelation chapter 5, you find a powerful, powerful scene. People are saying, who can open the scroll that is in the hand of the Ancient of Days? And nobody is worthy until this Lamb shows up. John describes it as a Lamb standing as though it had been slain. Who's he talking about? Of course he's talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain for us, but now he's standing. And now listen to the chorus that is sung when this Lamb appears. Revelation 5 and verse 9. They sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And that again includes us. He ransomed us by his blood. We can now walk away from Satan if we choose. Now, if we choose, we can stay right there and spend eternity with him. I don't advise that for anyone. But if we choose, we can walk away from Satan and our sins will be cleansed because we were ransomed by that power of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, how can we teach this lesson without looking at Galatians 4 for a moment? Galatians 4 verses 3 through 5, here Paul talks about again what Jesus has done for all of us and the great plan that was put in place for us. He said, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. He's talking to Gentiles primarily there, to the Jews that were enslaved to the law. But we were enslaved. But, verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So again, what effect did Jesus' death have for us? It redeemed us. It ransomed us. We're now free to go. The price has been paid. The Expositor's Bible Commentary makes this point about the idea of redemption. Redemption means to buy out of slavery. People who were slaves either to the law as Jews or to the basic principles of the world as Gentiles, Christ paid the price of their redemption and set them free. We can't imagine the horror that those people felt in early October when terrorists raided villages in Israel, broke into homes, slaughtered many, carried others away. We can't imagine the emotions, the fear, the terror felt by those people who were carried away. Will anybody come after us? Will we ever be released? Will we ever see home again, if there is a home to be seen? Some have been released, many have not. But we're all in that situation. All of us who've reached that age of being able to choose between right and wrong, because that means ultimately we've all made the wrong choice at one time or another. We're sinners. And that means we're slaves. Slaves to sin. But we don't have to stay there. God has ransomed us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we sing, O come, O come, Emmanuel, ransom us. Rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, because he has. Have you been released yet? It's already been paid. All you need to do is come to the Lord and say, I'd like to have my sins forgiven. Would you do that for me, Lord? He'll run to meet you. He wants to forgive you. But you've got to say, I believe in your Son. I believe Jesus is your Son. I know that sin is wrong. I'm turning away from it. I'm repenting of it for the rest of my life. I'm going to confess your Son before anyone as your Son. And today I will be buried with him, which will wash away my sins, which will give me that newness of life. You can do that. That's all that's required for you from the Word of God, and then to live faithfully from this day forward. That's not too much to ask. Would you do it? And if you've done it, have you been faithful? Have you even thought about the price that was paid for your redemption? And once you think about that, how's your life been? Do you need to repent of sin? Do you need to be cleansed anew by the blood of his Son? And if so, you need to repent of your sin, pray for forgiveness. You may want to ask us to pray with you, and we'd be glad to do that. There's no judgment here. We're all sinners. We're glad to help one another. So if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.
Have please be seated. Before we share the Lord's Supper, we'll sing together hymn number 375. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 11. Also, this helps me kind of get my mind right about what our purpose is, what we're trying to do. I like to go back and think about what I read in the Bible and what the Bible's here for us to learn about in the from the very beginning, God created us, and he wanted to be with us and knew it was good for us to be with him. Then from the beginning, we also learned that man didn't live up to his side and sinned and fell away from God. And then every generation and every person since then has done the same thing, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. But wonderfully, God has put a plan in place and has sent his son to bear that for us, to take our sins and to die and bury our sins so that we can be with him again. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that sacrifice and what Jesus means to us. I like to read 1 Corinthians 11, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And so in verse 23, I'm reading from the ESV version. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said,
"This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for sending your Son to take our place. You have ransomed us and you have saved us from something that we could never pay for. You have paid a price that we could never pay. And it was a very costly price. And we thank you for that. Help us to take this this bread in a manner pleasing to you, to reflect on what that sacrifice was and to live our lives in accordance to your will. Forgive us when we break your laws and we sin against you, and help us to learn from those mistakes and to grow closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to God for the cup. Heavenly Father, we also come. We come to you to remember the cup, to take this cup in a manner pleasing to you. The precious blood of your Son has washed away our sins, and we couldn't be with you without that. But we know how terrible that was for you and him to endure, but we're also so thankful for that endurance. Lord, help us to have that mindset to give ourselves and everything to do your will, to do what's best for you and your kingdom, and help us to serve you and no one else. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that concludes the Lord's Supper, our manner of convenience. Let's also pray for the offering and the giving that we're directed to do on the first day of the week. Lord, we are blessed far beyond all measure. You've given us everything that we've ever needed and wanted, and we thank you for those blessings. We know that you bless us even in ways that we don't even know, that we can't see or comprehend at this time. But we know that you're fighting for us, and you're doing everything, equipping us with everything that we need to do your will. Lord, help us to love you and to serve you and no one else. Help us to put our priorities right, which includes our belongings and our skills, and to give to you what belongs to you. Help us to be a good steward of all these things, and help it to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray again, please. Our Holy Father, we are so grateful that you sent Jesus to this earth to pay the ransom for us. We know we were lost, but he paid the price and we've been bought back. And Father, give us strength that our lives will reflect gratitude every day in everything we do for the price that's been paid for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have just a few announcements this morning before we are dismissed. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. There will be no evening worship assembly on December 24th due to traveling and family events. The morning Bible classes and worship assembly will continue as usual. Retired men's breakfast will be this Tuesday, December 19th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list on the announcements board if you plan to attend. And we have these on our prayer list. Let's continue to remember Tom Ellis' sister, Janet, as she has quite a serious situation in her life, and let's be sure to pray for her. Let's continue to pray for Jasmine Ryan as she is facing challenges in her life. Carol Lloyd, who is Arlene's sister, my sister-in-law, had a rather bad fall last night, and she's in quite a bit of pain this morning, so as we began our worship service, she was on the way to the ER, and there are some concerns about possible rib injury. So her name is Carol Lloyd, if you would remember her in prayer. Judy Von Dolan came through her surgery on Friday and had three heart stents put in place. She did well, according to her daughter, Teresa Wolf, and no more stents will be needed. Ray Markland was taken by ambulance Wednesday afternoon to Mountain Home VA Medical Center with extreme shortness of breath. Scans showed that his lungs were full of fluid. At last report, he was doing better. Ralph Campbell, who is a resident of our community, is mourning the passing of his wife, Edna, who passed away this last Tuesday. Our prayers for God's comfort have been requested. This morning, I leave you with 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're dismissed.